You're listening to a message from Southland Church. To learn more about Southland, including our service times and upcoming events, listen to us online at mysouthland.com. Today's message comes from lead pastor Stefan Dirksen.
Good morning. It's good to see you guys again. I just wanted to give a very fast update just on my shoulder because I know you guys have been praying for that. It's like pretty amazing. So yeah, I'm pretty pumped about this. As far as mobility goes, not that many of you care, but all my mobility is back. That does hurt a little bit, and I'm not supposed to use weights yet. But that's coming, and we're well on the way. So I'm very grateful for you guys, grateful for the prayers, and that you guys care. I really appreciate that. And I also feel the weight of, I know many in here want prayer for God to move in specific areas, including health. And so I know sometimes we're celebrating that he's moving forward on one, and another he seems to be just holding them and sustaining them. And that actually brings us onto our topic today that we're talking about, and that's going to be the Holy Spirit gives us strength to endure. And we're going to be getting to the gifts of the Spirit and healing and what that looks like in the church today. And we'll talk about that, but we would be missing something big if we didn't focus on the Holy Spirit's plan to empower us to be able to endure hardship. Psalm 13, 1-6. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel of my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And then David moves on to say, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. I think if we're honest, some maybe more than others, but we get to these acknowledged limitations in our life where we are facing things that are so utterly beyond our ability to endure that we can give into despair. And so to begin, as we get into this, it's important to look at God's word and what it has to say about this, but we can be comforted even knowing that David himself, who was called a man after God's own heart, understands, and he wrote Psalms. This is not the only one. This is just one of many that talk about the despair that he felt. And yet, even here, within six verses, you see at the end, yet I have trusted in your steadfast love. Yet he continued to find reasons to sing. And that's what we're going to look at today, right? Whether people turn on you because of your faith, we talk about that being levels of, or varying levels of persecution. Or maybe the affliction and suffering that you're facing has more to do with your health or to do with relationships that you're going through or mental health, inner health or outer health. There's lots of different reasons that cause us to suffer or to face hardship in this world. And so we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's role in giving us strength to endure. Jesus said in John 16, and this is part of the Upper Room Discourse. So I mean, we should always pay attention to everything in Scripture, but context matters. And when we look at John 14, 15, 16, and 17, it's Jesus's basically his final conversation and exhortation to his disciples before he's going to die and then rise from the dead. And then there's more that he teaches them. But he's kind of like bringing everything together, all of the ministry that he's given them, he's bringing it together and telling them what's important for them to know and how they should prepare and what they should expect. Well, right in the midst of that, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. So in Christ, we've talked about that before, the peace comes from the reconciliation that Jesus paid for us, that we can be reconciled to God. In me, Jesus, you have peace. But in the world, you will have tribulation or trouble. It's the same word. And then he goes on to say, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So even just here, if we just stopped there, Jesus is saying, whatever the trouble is that you are facing, that we can take heart because he has already overcome it. It's past tense. It's not just future. Now, we wait for a futuristic fulfillment of some of this, but Jesus already presents it in the present. In the present completion, I have overcome the world. It's already done. We're just seeing it unfold now. And so we're instructed to look back to him. But we are also told, promised, I might even add, that in this world, we will have trouble. Now, the part that's hard as a pastor is explaining why do some people have more trouble than others. Because it's true, some people suffer a lot greater than others. And yet death comes to us all. We all experience shame. We all experience fear. We all experience rejection, all of those types of things, but some are just carrying burdens that are so much greater than the person next to them. In Romans, Paul says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for, what is that word here?
Good.
For those who are called according to his purposes. I think sometimes that's a really difficult verse or concept to grapple with as believers. I mean, maybe overall we can get together and we can sing it, but do we actually believe when we're facing trouble, if it doesn't disappear immediately, is God using it for good? Can he use it for good? I mean, I always caution on using verses like this. I mean, it's one thing to preach it here or for us to get into a Bible study and discuss it, but I would even caution on using verses like this if someone is in the middle of a really difficult struggle to tell them, well, don't worry, God's using it for good. Sometimes it seems like a trite answer. It's almost a harsh answer when they really just need us to do what Romans says, and that is to weep when someone weeps, to just be present. And yet, so situationally, we got to be careful, and yet we know this is still true because it's in God's word. We know that we will have trouble, and we know that God is working all things for good, even in the midst of that trouble. And when we're not in trouble, it's important to remind ourselves of these types of truths, to anchor our faith on them, so that we're not easily blown off or led astray the second pain or hardship hits our lives. I'm going to read you a story from one of our very own, Candy and Sheldon. You guys know who they are. Well, many of you do. They're often up here. But this is Candy's story. Candy writes, I gave my life to Jesus when I was a young woman. Very quickly, I became quite passionate about my faith. I got education, preparing for ministry, and then got involved in church ministry as soon as I was able. Behind the scenes, I dealt with health issues and worked to stay healthy, always feeling like my health was a threat to my lifelong commitment to ministry. I ate a strict diet and exercised, saying that this would help me minister till I was old. I was very disciplined, and then in 2020, when I ended up in the hospital, I immediately asked God why this was happening. Maybe you've been there. I did everything right, I thought, to the best of my ability, and yet still tragedy strikes. Why is this happening? When I lay there in the hospital bed, I had this thought, which I'm sure was the Spirit, and he said, you thought you needed a healthy body to minister to others. Let me show you what you can do now. I found it impossible. It didn't seem like I had a choice. As time passed and symptoms worsened, fear took hold and I panicked. I slowly started losing what I had worked so hard for. It caused me to want to give up and pity myself, believing I hadn't worked this hard to end up like this. But there was this niggle in the back of my mind that reminded me of the challenge from Jesus. Let me show you what you can do now. I faced the grim reality. I faced the pain, the displacement, the discouragement. I even faced the temptation to give up on life entirely. I kept my head in the Bible. I fought through emotional battles of having to let go of my plans and opened myself up to a new life. One of those divine moments was when I came to my wits' end and told Sheldon that I was done. I didn't want to live anymore. The next day in my Bible reading, I read the story of Elijah, who had come to his wits' end and cried out to the Lord. And the Lord said, and in 1 Kings 19, it says, I have had enough, Lord, take my life. Then an angel came and fed him and let him rest. Today, I receive from the Lord as he feeds me with his love. He's preparing me for the long journey ahead. As a sick woman, I experienced healing every day, or I am experiencing healing every day. Maybe not physical healing like we all wish for, but an emotional and spiritual healing that allows me to face tomorrow. This, in and of itself, is a miracle. It's a miracle we often forget about. The spiritual endurance given by the Lord to persevere through suffering as the Spirit leads. With God's challenge to me, to her, let me show you what I can do. I've listened to him, and he's revealed a community of women who are suffering. Weekly, I minister to them, understanding the battle and the threat sickness can have on their faith and my own. The Lord has also led me to serve others through a gathered community, growing vegetables for the sick and the homeless. What I've come to realize is that when I think I've lost everything, I haven't. I still have a responsibility to steward my life and long-suffering, understanding its power of destruction and knowing the presence of my Heavenly Father who's offering me true life. Like Elijah at his wit's end, the Lord is sustaining me, feeding me, and giving me a growing purpose in my sickness and anticipation for a long journey ahead. Candy and Sheldon are one of, I have like about 24 people that I pray for daily, and I pray for them regularly. That's an incredible story. You read that and you're like, well, I mean, we obviously, who doesn't want the healing now? And the last, I mean, we're in week 6 now of this Holy Spirit series, and every week I've been very intentional to share stories from in our church and from outside of our church because I'm trying to connect us with what God is doing around the world and in the world today. And what we have seen is we've read stories of people getting out of wheelchairs after being incapacitated for 3 decades, concussions being healed. We've seen all sorts of things. I mean, Scripture is full of miraculous stories, but Candy highlights something in here that there's another type of miracle, and that is the miracle of God's sustaining power in somebody's life to keep them going. So what is the source of their strength? I don't want to be trite, but at the same time, what is the source of their strength? Because there's a lesson in this for all of us, and that's really what we're here to look at today. And I think the main source of strength is, it is the Holy Spirit with and in us. We've looked at that from John 14. That is one of the promises, the blessings of the new covenant. But we see this promise even extending back into the Old Testament. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, say it with me, I will be with you. I will be with you. This promise of Emmanuel, God with us, already was present in the Old Testament, although they didn't get to see it or experience it in the same way that we do today. Not only do we have the indwelling Spirit with and in us, as Jesus promised in John, we also have access to the completed Scriptures like no one else in history. And then we have each other, but right now we're looking at the primary source of strength, and that is God with us. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He is close to the brokenhearted. You go and look at the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Right? Blessed are the merciful. They will receive mercy. God is with us, providing these very, he's very present, actively involved with us when we need him there. But often it's not necessarily in the way that we want. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, you stub your toe, you just want the pain to go away. And God actually promises us something better, that he's going to be with us with the stubbed toe. Now, I know that's a light type of suffering. But he says, I will be with you, whether it's cancer or whether it's a stubbed toe, whether it's the loss of a loved one. Now is not the time where every tear is going to be wiped away. That's not today. That's coming. So he encourages us to hold on to hope. But he says, as you walk through this world, as you go through the fire, as you walk through waters, I will be with you. That's John 14, 16 to 18. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another paraclete. Remember, we looked at that Greek word, and that is helper. Your Bible might say counselor. Your Bible also might say comforter, and that's all true. It's all true of the Holy Spirit. His role to be our comforter and helper, right? Our counselor, our ever-present help in time of need. We sing that song. That's where it's coming from. Paraclete. It's the Holy Spirit's role. He will be with us. How long will he be with us?
Forever.
How long will he be with us, church?
Forever.
Jesus sent him. He said, if I go to the Father, I'll ask the Father, and he's going to send you. That's what happened at Pentecost. Now we get the deposit in every believer, but then we're also invited, Ephesians 5:18, to be ongoingly filled with the Spirit. We're invited to walk in step with the Spirit, to sow into the Spirit, to lean onto the Spirit. And that is where we get our ever-present help in time of need. So that number one thing that we need as we're going through suffering, the strength to endure, is we need the active presence of the Lord in our lives. I love verse 18. My daughter is actually the one who put me onto it first many years ago. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. What an incredible promise in verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. You feel like you're gonna be an orphan. You become a Christian and it's like you're divorcing yourself from the world and everything around it, and often it costs you family and it costs you friends and it costs you whatever. And he said, I will not leave you as orphans. You get something better. Whatever it is that you have to give up, you are getting something better. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. You know my stance on that. I'm not talking about financial better. I'm talking about actual better. We get forgiveness of sins, reconciliation of our relationship with God. We're reconciled, peace between us and God. How is that even fair? And then he says, and I will be with and in you. Look at that, verse 17. You know him. We know him. Know him? John says, like in 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. This is how we know him. The Holy Spirit dwells with us and will be in us. We will not be orphans. No matter how hard the circumstance is that you are going through, the promise is you will not be left alone to suffer. Now, he does not promise to simply remove all suffering yet, but he does promise to be with you and to strengthen you in it. My mom, I've shared about her brain surgeries. I'm pretty sure that was one of the stories I shared earlier in week one or two. Something she has often said, though, is that many people, she's been able to say this. Now, I've had a measure of suffering in my life, nothing like a lot of those that I'm praying for daily. I just haven't. So I can't speak for you in this, so I can share their stories, though, like my mom's. You know, my mom has said this, and she gets choked up, that she would never trade the path that she's on for just to have had an instant healing. Now, I'm not, by the way, against healing. We're going to talk about the gift of healing. I think it's important. We're actually commanded to pray for healing in James. When they're sick amongst us, it's actually a command. We're supposed to gather around and pray, so we should do that. We're just not promised that everyone gets healed in this lifetime. I remember joking with one of my friends, and I wouldn't just joke with anyone on this. He got healed of a brain aneurysm, and I joked that he was healed to die another day. And we both kind of chuckled at that. That's a morbid kind of joke, right? We're friends. But isn't it true? It's true. So anyhow, my mom has said she has willingly surrendered to God's plan here because of how it has encouraged others and grown her own character and changed her own relationship with Jesus. So what is the key to understanding or to enduring hardship? Well, that's walking in step with God's Spirit. So we have the indwelling Spirit, yes, but then we're told repeatedly this idea of walking in step with the Spirit. And I know this is right at the point where it starts getting like, well, that's exactly the problem. I've talked to people that are going through really difficult circumstances where they've said, you know, they feel shame because they can no longer serve. They feel shame because they can't go and help others the way they used to. They feel shame because they can't come into the service every time because sometimes their health keeps them at home. Some of you are probably watching online. God bless you this morning. So what does that look like to walk in step with the Spirit then? When it doesn't look like your typical going out and evangelizing or going and serving in the church, or what does it look like? Well, that's where we're going to look at the Spirit being the source of perseverance, hope, and faith. And now we're going to do, you know, we've kind of done this the last 2 weeks, gone, you know, broad strokes through Galatians, then we did broad strokes through Ephesians, actually that was flipped. We're going to broad stroke through 2 Corinthians. And now the theme of 2 Corinthians, he's actually refuting false teaching. That's really what he's doing in establishing himself as a true apostle. So that's the theme. But I'm going to pick up on a secondary theme that comes out in his letter to Corinthians. Because Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he actually really emphasizes the journey that he had with affliction and suffering. And it's incredible to watch his heart come out. And he starts here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, sorry, I guess we'll start with walk by faith. Right in 2 Corinthians 5:5-7 is where we get that famous line. You've probably heard it before. It's, if you have those bursts of the days, it comes up there probably once or twice a year. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Right, so some people use that as a rule of thumb for their entire life. Well, that's not necessarily how it's supposed to apply. We should have faith in all things. Paul is specifically talking about situations that involve impossible suffering and hardship. When you cannot make sense of the world around you, you cannot make sense of what you're going through. When you don't understand God's purpose, that's where Paul says, walk by faith, hold on to faith. That is a purpose for your existence in and of itself. When you can do nothing else, to hold on to faith is fulfilling a purpose, and it's an incredibly powerful purpose. I might say a primary one. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the writers of Hebrews says. Now we'll move to the beginning. So we started kind of in chapter 5, and now we'll move back to chapter 1. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction." That is the role, one of the many roles we've talked about, of the Holy Spirit. That he comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we will share abundantly in comfort too. For if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you remains unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort too. Paul is talking a lot. Now, right in the beginning, if we would just start here, some of you might just say, and again, we have to be careful on how we use these passages, right? I mean, if someone is going through something difficult, I might not come and say, well, God, you know, God's giving you this so that you can comfort others. That might not be the time and place. That might be for the Lord to encourage them through the scriptures. But ultimately, Paul models this all over. You see it come out in Ephesians. Ephesians, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Remember, submission was about laying down your own rights. Colossians, he says, count others as more significant than yourself. 1 Corinthians 9, he says, your right to eat whatever you want, lay it down for the weaker brother around you. Your right to wear whatever you want, lay it down for those that aren't in the faith or the weaker brother around you. Paul, one of Paul's most consistent messages, other than worship God with your whole life, no matter what happens, even unto death. I mean, that was his primary. One of the secondary themes that you're going to find out in all of, or find in all of Paul's letters, Paul believed every aspect of his life, both positive and negative, were there as a gift from God to be used to help and bless others. And you see it here, even not just with his freedoms that he was willing to give up, but even in suffering. Paul said, God has not abandoned you in suffering. He will even use suffering to work his good purposes in your life, but also in the lives of those around you. And that's what he's getting at here. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. He sounds just like David here. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength. Maybe you're here and you're feeling that, so utterly burdened beyond my strength to endure. I don't have anything left. And then despair sets in, and you despair of life, and you just wish that you could go home and be with the Lord. You're not alone in that. That's one of the reasons why I encourage us, all of us, to be getting into the Word regularly, because you will find that the Word comes to you like this, and it comforts you, and the Spirit comforts you through the words of Scripture and through the examples that were given. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Paul said his suffering was so severe that he despaired of life. He thought being with the Lord would be better than staying in this world. Now, I want you to note something. There's multiple times this comes up in Scripture. And what we don't find is this. Now, in your despair, in your feeling broken or lacking strength, can you turn to sinful things? Absolutely yes. Can you become bitter? Absolutely yes. And would there be a condemnation on you for that? Yes. We are not to become bitter. But there is no condemnation on getting to the end of yourself and being in a place where you're in despair, where you lack the resources to continue going on. In fact, God will often use those times to draw you closer to himself. Psalm 13, verse 1, we looked at this with David. How long, O Lord, have you ever prayed that prayer? For a wayward teen, for a broken relationship that you're trying to repair, for a sickness that hasn't been healed. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? I think many times we feel that, or people can get to that place where we feel that. How long will you hide your face from me? We'll go back into verse 9 here, 9b. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And here even Paul found purpose in the middle of intense suffering, suffering that was so incredibly big that he was despairing of life. And I want to pause on that again, because remember, this is Paul. He's walked with God. He's being used by God mightily. He's seeing the power of God work mightily through others. He's praying for people. They're getting healed. And he says, God allowed that with him so that they would rely not on themselves, but on God who raises the dead. So now Paul has seen two, like already here, we're barely into this, and Paul has given us two reasons why God has allowed him to suffer and suffer intensely, so that he could receive comfort that he could now extend to others that were going through the same types of suffering. Now, you might be in the thick of it that it's so deep that it's hard to think anything outside of what you feel right now, and I get that. But I would encourage you, would you get to that? Could we even wrestle with the question like Paul did? If God was going to use this in your life to be able to just reach one other person that might be suffering something similar or less than you, but now they will listen because you have an experience that actually gives you a voice in their life. If that was the assignment that God had given you, would you surrender to that the same way Paul did? I can't make that decision for you. I can't make it for anyone but me. And like I said, some in here are going through things that are far greater than me. I don't know how I would do in the same position. Paul learned to trust the Holy Spirit. He said, on God who raises the dead. What did he say in Ephesians? Who is it that raises the dead? The Holy Spirit is actually the one who raised Jesus, right? So that's what Paul says in Ephesians. So Paul was learning to trust on God, the Holy Spirit who raises the dead, who delivered him from such a deadly peril and will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Our hope being set on the one who delivers, not on the deliverance itself. Joni Erickson Tada says, every day is a battle for her. Every day is a battle. Interestingly though, she says every day is, because she's a quadriplegic, if you don't know. was paralyzed many, many years ago and now has an incredible ministry, but is a paraplegic. So you can just imagine how she's wrestling with that. You should look her up online. If you don't know who it is, do yourself the favor and just listen to some of her stories. But she talks about every day being a battle. Now, you would assume every day being a battle because you can't brush your teeth or wash yourself or get dressed or get out of bed on your own. That would be a battle. But she said every day is a battle for hope. Every single day is a battle for hope. She wakes up and doesn't feel hope and has to pray for the Spirit to give her hope and has to pray for the strength to smile so that she can be a blessing to others. She has chosen to surrender to the path that God has for her and emulates what we hear both in Candy's story but also in the Apostle Paul. If you're in suffering right now and you're not there yet, this is not meant to condemn, no. But it's more meant to teach. What does the Word say? What's possible? What's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit? Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the, who's this? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The Holy Spirit gives you strength to endure. One of the ways he does that is he gives you hope. So he is with and in us, giving us, he's the power source, but he is also the one who gives you hope. Hope gives you strength to endure. Hope gives you strength to change, to keep clinging to Jesus, to move forward one step in front of the other. And then he gets to the next verse here in verse, I think it's 11. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. And I've talked about that lots. If you come to prayer summits, I use that phrase, the prayers of the many, often. Because this is the one spot in the Bible where we get the phrase, the prayers of the many. But it's a theme we see again throughout Paul's ministry. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who had revelation, Jesus revealed himself directly to him and gave him revelation for inspired scripture. I mean, this guy had access to God that none of us have gotten to experience in that sense. We don't see clearly the way the Apostle Paul did. And yet the Apostle Paul suffered greatly and held on to his faith. The Apostle Paul constantly and consistently would ask for the prayers of the churches as he would travel around. You must help me through prayer. Pray that I would have boldness. Pray for strength. In this case, he was praying as God brought him through suffering. Why? He says, so that many will give thanks on behalf of the blessing granted through the prayers of many. Church, this is one of our jobs together. This is not just the role of one or a few or just the prayer ministry. Our job is to support each other through prayer. I thought about it this morning as I was going through my list. And that's a hard list to get through some mornings. And I just thought, can you imagine if we shrunk that? Like, I got a couple dozen on there. You might think that's nuts. Okay, what if we all took a burden of six? Can you think of the prayer covering that could exist in a church our size if we all prayed for six others and didn't just pray for ourselves? Church, this is one of our roles, the gathering body, so that when some are weak, those that are strong gather around. One of the main ways we do that is through prayer. We hold each other up in prayer. In fact, let's pray together. We're going to pray this one. I put it on the screen. I did this last week too. We're going to start with Heavenly Father. If you want to join me, let's do it together now. Heavenly Father, we lift up those in our church who are suffering right now. We ask that you would fill them anew with your Holy Spirit, that you would reveal your presence to them, granting them strength to endure, giving them fresh hope, and empowering them to stand firm in faith. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so now we've started. This is, remember I said, this is a secondary side story throughout the letter to the Corinthian church. And so now we're gonna skip forward to chapter 4, and he's gonna come back into this idea of suffering. And by the way, I didn't go through all his passages because in Corinthians, this is also where he gives the lengthy list of the sufferings that he experienced. and pretty much dream up a way that you could suffer, and Paul suffered it. And he said it was all for the, like, he considered it all rubbish, everything, just for the sake of knowing Christ. It was worth it to him. Paul had something, he understood something that we should, if we don't have it, don't feel bad, but let's move towards that. Paul would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ, who gave up his rights and willingly suffered for the sake of others. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 18, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Right? Again, now we looked at purposes before. Paul's now listing another purpose. Paul is pointing us to a higher purpose for our suffering, for the brokenness that is inherent in our bodies. And he's saying so that people don't just see us and see us, that actually it gives God glory when they look at us and see him working in and through us. Jesus in John says that it's the Father's will that we pray and he can answer our prayers. Why? So that we can bear much fruit and so prove to be his disciples, and it gives glory to God. Some of those prayers he wants to answer will be for healing and other miraculous moves, and God will do step prayers and all that stuff. We've talked about that. We're going to get more into it. But today we're looking at another miracle that he wants to answer is sustaining you through hardship. Especially when you have a long-term hardship, it is almost impossible for people to try to explain away how it is that you manage to smile and manage to have joy. Ruth, you're one of those. Like, what do you have? What secret did you learn? Who do you know? That's another purpose. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our earthly bodies. Verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, the Holy Spirit, according to what has been written, I believe and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will also raise us up and bring us into his presence. The Holy Spirit is the key to persevering faith. The Holy Spirit is the key to persevering through hardship. I don't know if key is the right word, but he's the source of our power. The Holy Spirit is who we want to be close to. You need him. Now, the Bible does not give all the reasons for why God allows every evil in our lives. We get broad stroke answers to that question. If God, why evil? We get broad stroke. We know there's sin and death and decay. And we know sometimes if it's cause and effect, something you did, and now you're suffering, you were an alcoholic, now you have cirrhosis of the liver, it makes sense. Yesterday I read a story, stories coming out of Iran. This one was older, so it's like 20 years old, but of a 16-year-old Iranian girl that was hung to death from a crane for being raped. And I sat there and I just wept, because how do you understand evil like that in the world? These are the kind of things, like I said, it's hard to understand, right? He doesn't give us every answer to this, but the Bible actually tells us a lot of things that help us grapple with the evil that is in the world, such as, for those who love God, he will work all things for good. We also know that God doesn't want anyone to perish, and he proved that by dying for our sins. While we were in sin, Christ died for you and for me. He has proven a commitment to our salvation and to the undoing of all forms of evil. But it's true, I won't always have the answer for why the cancer now, or why the medical problem they can't figure out that they've been trying for years and you're just left in pain. We don't get the exact why on all of that stuff. And that is where it challenges us to hold on to faith, to stand firm in what we know. I mentioned that with other areas, how Paul went back to when there was division, he went back to, I'll preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. And I think that's part of the key. Again, we have the Holy Spirit, but it's going back to the foundation of Christ and him crucified. When things are so hard and you feel like God has abandoned you, remember that while you were in sin, he died for you. He has already demonstrated something, a love and commitment towards you that is far greater than any immediate removal from any difficult circumstance, regardless of how hard it is. Like I said earlier, I feel very inadequate for a sermon like this. But yet we have to grapple with this because it's in the Bible and it's part of our lived experience. Something I'd asked before, but we see Paul talking about reasons for suffering and somehow surrendering to God in it and drawing close. We talk about God having a purpose for our lives. I mentioned Joni Erickson Tada. If that was God's purpose for your life, that he wanted to use you in the most difficult circumstance, but to sustain you in the most supernatural way so that you would be a blessing to those around you, where would our yes be then? Is he still good then? Maybe you've never experienced pain yet that's caused you to grapple with a question like that. You know what? I would encourage you to grapple with the question now. Decide how far his goodness extends in your life. What if you lost your health? What if you lost your friends? Is he still worth everything to you? Verse 15. For it is all for your sake. For it is all for your sake. So that grace extends to more and more people, it may increase to thanksgiving for the glory of God. Now he goes into another famous passage. I know we've hit a few that I've preached on lots. This is why we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. It is whether you're in a health crisis or not. Maybe you're too young, you don't realize that yet. That's okay, I was there too. I'm not there anymore. Now I feel it every morning when I get out of bed. But our outer self, he's going to call it a tent right away. It's broken. It's wasting away. But then he says, but our inner self is being renewed day by day through the washing and regeneration of the word and through prayer and by his Spirit who sanctifies. And then he says something that I can't say to you in your suffering. This is what Paul is saying. For this light, momentary affliction in comparison. He's not trivializing your suffering and saying it doesn't matter. But he's saying, guys, like even with the revelation that he had already, this momentary affliction is light and it's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory that's beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen. And I know it's hard in the middle of crisis, it's almost impossible to get your eyes off. I mean, anyone who's had a panic attack, even if that's your trouble that you're experiencing, you know how hard that is. You just kind of ride it until it's done and hope for it to be over quickly. And yet Paul says, don't look at the things that are seen. There's something better. We look to something, a reality. Remember John in Revelations, the apocalypse, the unveiling of truth of what's really going on? Paul's getting to the same thing. The unveiling, what is really true, what is real, reality, is in the unseen, not in the seen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So Paul urges us, each one of us as individuals to firmly place our hope in the one who came and died and rose back from the dead and ascended into heaven, giving us his Spirit, promising us to return one day in glory. And he says, hope in him. Hope in what's to come. Look there. You're stuck right now because you're nearsighted. You need to be a little more farsighted to get just beyond that. And obviously we know because of chapter one, that's why you got to read the whole letter. We know from chapter one, because I might say like, well, that's impossible. I can't get there. Sometimes I'm just so overwhelmed with what I'm feeling today and what I'm facing. I can't see anything but what I'm feeling today. Paul knows that too. That's what chapter one was about. He understood despair of life itself, moving him to a place where he was learning to trust God. Moving on to verse 19. Nope, 2 Corinthians 5. Now we're going to jump forward to chapter 5, verse 2 to 8. And this is where we started in verse 5. We walk by faith and not by sight. He's talking here, the context is when you're facing suffering that is so intense and pressure, he's going to start by talking about in this tent, this body we groan. There is affliction, there's suffering, there's hurt, there's pain. We groan. And sometimes we know the purpose for it, and sometimes, I'd say many times, we do not. And it's in that context now, that context of enduring suffering, that he says, walk by faith and not by sight. Do not focus on the seen, but on the unseen. He's saying the same thing in a different way. And Paul gives us another purpose that we can hold on in that moment, because the writer of Hebrews says that it is impossible to please God without faith. How do you please him in suffering? You hold on to him. You continue to say, God, I'm suffering. God, this hurts, but I trust in you. And I trust that you are good no matter what. And I look forward to that day when you completely cleanse my body of whatever's ailing me today. But until then, I will just continue to put my trust in you because you are good, and I know you are good. You have proven that you are good. You took on my sin when I wasn't worth anything. We walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Oh yeah, one second. Now we're going to skip to chapter 12. Paul's bringing us to this journey that he's been on, and he's weaving it in. He's actually using his sufferings in here, because I said it, we're skipping over all of his shipwreckings and all the suffering he goes through. He's using the suffering that he went through in his faith to build his case for his own apostleship, which is quite fascinating. Because Christians were very different to all the Greek thinking around them. That always exalted strength. And Paul's like, no, I'd rather be weak with Jesus. That's the sign of my apostleship. I'm weak and he is strong. Beautiful. Anyhow, and yet we still find him three times pleading with the Lord for a thorn to be removed from his flesh. I love that, the beauty of the whole thing, right? Because you see him, he'll preach from a position of strength, walk by faith and not by sight. And then we find, yeah, I also was pleading with the Lord, please, please take it away. I can only imagine what that, I mean, we're not, I'm going to ad lib and add my own here because we're just going by the letter. But you can imagine with all of the things that Paul did and the ministry that he got to see, part of that prayer, it would have been easy to go, Lord, please take this away. I have seen you raise the dead. I have seen lepers be cleansed. I have seen the eyes of the blind be opened. I know you can do this. And yet you can see also how he responded. But he said to you, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For his sake, if For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamity. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now that is not a popular message in our culture today. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul saw weakness as a position of strength, not the other way around. Because weakness has a thing, and I wouldn't wish suffering on anyone. I've only had a certain level myself. Everyone has different amounts. But it creates desperation. You know, I kind of alluded to, I have 24 people that I pray for just on the big needs part, let alone other areas. And it's like, well, how do you find time to pray? I'm like, how do you not? Suffering and trouble and trials have taught me a desperation that I can't imagine going any other way. And when I think about skipping my prayers for those that are in need, it's almost unconscionable. Because I know how much they're desperate, and I don't want to see anyone's faith fail. So you give these little, our petty offerings, our crumbs, I always call them. I give my crumbs and hope that he turns it into loaf and fish. So how do we stand firm through suffering? I'm going to talk about this from two sides. I'm going to look at if you're in suffering right now, and I'm going to do my best to give some steps on what's important. And then I'm going to look at more from the church side, just some basic things that we can do as a church, because church, we have to learn to share the load together. This has to be something that we do together. And I know it gets uncomfortable on the together side. Well, if someone has a big sickness or a big need, well, I don't know how to ask them for prayer because I don't know what to do because we're worried that we have to fix them. They're not expecting you to fix them. Just like they can't fix their own circumstance. They're just like us. We want to be seen. We want to know that we have a place to belong. Tim Ryan said something years ago, if you're wondering if you should go to a funeral, you should go. If you're wondering, like, if you should talk to someone who's struggling, you should talk to them. I don't know what to say. Be present. And tell them, I don't know what to say, but I care. Can I pray for you? I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk about those that are in suffering. Standing firm, hold on to your faith, even if it's all you can do. What if it's so bad and it's so like all-encompassing that you can't do anything else? Hold on to your faith. That is a very act of worship in and of itself. When we say, I will walk by faith and not by sight, no matter how difficult this journey gets. I will hold on to faith. That is worship. And it is honorable. Look what it says in Romans 4, 20 to 24. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Okay, so faith, it's not just automatic. You start with the no unbelief made him waver, and you're like, well, I'm not there. Well, it says he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. As you hold on, you grow strong. That's exactly what Paul said. I learned through my suffering not to rely on myself, but I learned a dependence on God. I have talked to many who talk about the dependence they have learned through suffering that they would not trade away later. And I know there's moments when it's hard and you despair, just like David and just like Paul. Fully convinced God was able to do what he promised, and this is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but also for ours. This is the thing. When you hold on, when all you have is faith, and you hold on, and you choose to love God no matter what you go through, you don't even realize what you're doing and the testimony that you are proclaiming about the goodness of God to all of those around. That's why this is written. It said, not just for his sake, but for our sake. I go through my list of people that I'm praying for, some of them with health issues that I don't know what the answer is going to be. They don't know. But I watch them shine brightly in their faith for Jesus and hold on. And you know what gives me courage and strength? Going through that prayer list. Sometimes I start and I'm like, oh, this is so heavy, Lord. I just want you to take it away. And then I'll switch to praise, and you start praising God for the faithfulness that they show in the midst of trials, and it gives me strength to continue on in my faith. Okay, I gotta wrap this up. Hebrews 11. I'm doing it faster now. If you don't believe me about the faith thing. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. In the hall of faith, it's called, you can go and read it on your own, we won't go through it now, it lists off people, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, of their faith and how it was counted to them as righteousness. But look at what it says here now. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. Now get this, all they had was faith. It looks like a terrible life. Of whom the world was not worthy. This is what Scripture says about those who hold on to their faith in the middle of trouble. In the middle of hardship, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves on the earth. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Your continued faith, it glorifies God and it impacts those around you. So, if you move to the next slide, those are my steps. Hold on to your faith, pray daily for strength. Be honest to God, with God, and those around you about how you're doing. Let the body weep with you as you weep. And I'm sorry that some of us get it so utterly wrong, and we switch to trying to fix. I've been there too. That's the worst feeling. I get that. Bear with the body. I know you're bearing with a lot, but bear with us as we learn. But we have to do this together. Commit in your heart that you're going to follow him no matter what. And then find a reason to sing, even if you're not good at it. Sing. And then for the church, if you go to that next one, when you see someone suffering, no one should stand alone. If you're wondering what to do, you pray for them. You can pray for them privately. You can ask them how to pray. They might say, well, I don't know. That's okay. Serve them. Look for ways to serve and help when possible. If you're not sure what to do, ask. Don't assume, by the way. Don't just take over things, but ask. Just it's that simple. Can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do to help? But be willing to help those around you and love them. Never judge, always show compassion. Romans 12 says simply weep with those who weep, be present. And that's the last one. Don't try to fix the problem like Job's friends. Just be there. Lord, I ask that you would, today, that you would give a fresh filling of your spirit to those who are going through difficulties, whether that be sickness or brokenness or relationships, or maybe they're coming out of being rejected or whatever it might be. Maybe it's loss and death. Maybe it's a mental health issue that they're just working through and their trauma from their past and they feel so trapped. Today, Lord, I ask that you would fill each one of us anew with your spirit. That you would give us the strength to endure, the power to live as overcomers, that you would strengthen us with hope, with love, with faith, and with perseverance for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
If today's message has encouraged you, please take a moment to rate us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream podcasts. For access to previous messages, videos, and live services, visit us online at myselfund.com or download the Selfund Church app. Thank you again for tuning in to this week's message.